Stay tuned for Africa News Tonight, coming up right after these latest world news headlines.
The Libyan city of Tobruk is hit by car bombers. A suicide bomber strikes a Nigerian college. I'm Dave DeForest reporting from Washington. Libyan officials say car bombings in eastern Libyan areas under control of the internationally recognized government have killed at least 4 people and wounded about 20. The officials say one of the attacks took place in the city of Tobruk, base of the contested official Libyan parliament. Another explosion hit an air base in the city of Baida, which is home to the Libyan government. There has been no immediate claim of responsibility. Officials say 3 of the dead are soldiers. The Associated Press is reporting that the Libyan military responded to the bombings by carrying out airstrikes on the city of Darna, an Islamist stronghold. In Nigeria, a female suicide bomber has blown herself up at a teacher's training college in central Niger State. Police said the bombing took place in the city of Kontagora around midday. Authorities said the woman blew herself up while entering the school's library. There were conflicting reports on whether anyone else died in the blast. The death toll in an earlier attack on a secondary school in northeastern Nigeria has risen to 58, according to a school official quoted by the AFP news service. The bomber was disguised in a school uniform. He blew himself up as students gathered for morning assembly on Monday. The AFP reports that the United States would like the International Monetary Fund to cancel the debts of 3 African countries hit hard by the Ebola virus. The U.S. would like the IMF to forgive $100 million in debts to Sierra Leone, Liberia, and Guinea. This is VOA News. This also from AFP. Kenyan police say they have arrested 10 suspected militants, including 2 female suicide bombers who had sneaked across the border from Somalia. The police say the 10 were involved in recent attacks in Nairobi and had fled the country before sneaking back. A police spokeswoman did not reveal the nationalities of those arrested. Officials in Sudan's government and rebels from South Kordofan and Blue Nile have begun a new round of peace talks, according to the AFP. Mediators described the proceedings as an urgent effort to end 3 years of war. Previous talks have failed to end fighting in the 2 states. Botswana President Ian Khama today suggested the name of Education Minister Mokgweetsi Masisi as vice president. AFP reports that Masisi was then approved and sworn into office. The action ends a crisis that began when President Khama suggested that he might nominate his younger brother for the post, sparking fears that he was trying to build a political dynasty. There was applause in the control room today when the European Space Agency successfully landed a robotic probe on a comet billions of kilometers from Earth. The historic first for space exploration is an attempt to answer questions about the origin of the universe. The Philae probe landed on the comet known as Comet 67P Churyumov-Gerasimenko, around 16 hours universal time today, 7 hours after separating from the Rosetta spacecraft, its mother ship. Ukraine's defense minister, Stepan Poltorak, says his forces are redeploying in preparation for a possible new offensive by pro-Russian separatists in eastern Ukraine. Poltorak told a government meeting today that rebels have received reinforcements and his main task is to prepare for military action. U.S. President Barack Obama has arrived in Myanmar, also known as Burma, where regional leaders have opened the annual summit meeting of the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, or ASEAN. As the U.S. president arrived today, the local magazine Irrawaddy published an interview in which Mr. Obama said his hosts have made progress on some political and economic reforms, but have also gone backwards in some areas. The United States and China announced new plans to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, the highlight of a summit between the country's top leaders. The announcement today by the world's top 2 emitters of carbon dioxide could play a key role in efforts to combat global climate change. From the VOA News Center in Washington, I'm Dave DeForest.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
Good evening and welcome to African News Tonight from the English to Africa service of the Voice of America. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington.
And I'm Yehiz Wuhiben, coming up at this hour on African News Tonight.
I can't talk to him up till now. 2 days ago, I can't talk to my husband. He's somewhere in the center. I can't hear from him. I don't know what is going on. Nobody's talking to me. And I need to know what's going on with him.
That's Aissatou Saliha, the wife of a doctor who has come down with Ebola in Sierra Leone. Details coming up.
Also in the news, the African Union is making progress in weakening the Lord's Resistance Army terror group.
We'll have these stories and lots more ahead on African News Tonight.
Our top story this hour, authorities in Mali announced some bad news today regarding Ebola. They report 2 new deaths from the disease. The deaths are not believed linked to the case of a 2-year-old girl who traveled to Mali from Guinea. The child died of Ebola late last month. AP quotes Communications Minister Mahamadou Camara as saying a nurse working at a clinic in the capital Bamako died yesterday. A patient she had treated died on Monday. It has been confirmed the patient, a Guinean citizen, had Ebola. Elsewhere, the French news agency reports the Gambia has reopened its borders to travelers from Ebola-affected countries. The borders had been closed to people coming from Liberia, Guinea, and Sierra Leone since September. But authorities now say the restrictions actually hindered the response to the epidemic. The World Health Organization had called the border closings discriminatory. In Liberia, Assistant Health Minister Tolbert Nyanswa says the number of new Ebola cases continues to fall. He says the number has dropped from about 500 daily to 50. In the U.S. yesterday, the last known Ebola patient in the country was released from a New York City hospital. Dr. Craig Spencer had contracted the virus in Guinea while working for Doctors Without Borders.
Meanwhile, in Uganda, health officials have declared the country free of Marburg virus, an Ebola-like illness. A 30-year-old medical technician had died of the disease in September. However, a 42-day surveillance program has uncovered no new cases. Nearly 200 people had been monitored. In other Ebola-related news, UN Special Rapporteur Hilal Elver is warning of a food crisis in Ebola-affected countries. She says about 1 million people need food aid to avoid severe shortages. And the World Health Organization says faster Ebola diagnostic tests are needed. It says current control efforts are hampered by cumbersome, slow, and complex diagnostic tests that impose logistical challenges. Standard takes may take 2 to 6 hours to give results and cost $100 each.
The Ebola outbreak continues to take its toll on doctors in Sierra Leone, as we have learned that another doctor in the country tested positive for the virus yesterday. Dr. Martin Salia is a specialist surgeon at a major hospital in the capital of Freetown. He's the 6th Sierra Leonean doctor to become infected with the Ebola virus. 5 doctors have died from the virus. Dr. Salia is receiving treatment for the illness. His wife, Aissatou Saliha of New Carrollton, Maryland, says she had not been able to speak with her husband since the diagnosis. She spoke with me about the emotional toll on the family by the diagnosis and the lack of communication.
He told me when he was feeling the sick. He called me and talked to me. He's not feeling well, so the fever persisted, and then they had to go to one of the Ebola centers at Hastings. So they did the first test. It was negative, so we are all happy. But the fever still persists, and he has to go again to see his primary care physician, Dr. Russell. And the doctor's team insisted that they can do several tests so they can. So the second one came from Laka, is negative. And the third one came positive from Kerry Town, and the in-law, my sister-in-law, his elder sister, called me with tears, crying that he's positive, and they took him to one of the centers. She was crying on the phone. I don't know. I just go down the floor. for 2 hours, and I don't even know what I was doing, and that's the way I know about it.
How are you coping at this time, and how is your family coping?
The 12-year-old child was feeling sick yesterday, but better today. And I can't talk to him up till now. 2 days ago, I can't talk to my husband. He's somewhere in the center. I can't hear from him. I don't know what is going on. Nobody's talking to me. And I need to know what's going on with him.
I am so, so sorry for what you and your family are going through. Is anyone in Sierra Leone able to make any contact with him?
Yeah, the elder sister is nurse back home, the same hospital, Connaught, where my husband is working, and she's the one giving me information. And, well, I think yesterday she told me that she was trying to go inside because she asked them so she can volunteer, so she can be with the brother. But they asked her out because I don't know why. She was crying that they asked her out of the place. So since then, that was the last time she told me she was trying to let him eat something. But he's still sick.
Has anyone given you any information as to how he contracted it?
I have no information. I have no information because he's a general surgeon specialist. And he's not actually in the Ebola center, but he sees his patients, and he's doing his surgery, he's seeing patients. So I really don't. I have no idea. I'm just in the dark. I don't know how it happened.
Do you have children?
Yeah, we have 2 children together, 20 years old, Mother Salia, and in White Salia is 12 years, and we are all here.
How are they doing?
The little one is a little bit quiet. He was not feeling well yesterday, but today is good. The older one is the one talking to me. That all will be fine in Jesus' name. And he's the 6th doctor in the country, Sierra Leone, that have contracted this disease. And the 5, they died. I want them to save my husband. Please, at least let me hear his voice. I need to know. I know my husband. If I talk to him, he'll be strong. I need to hear his voice. His phone is turned off. They wanted him to rest. I just need to hear his voice.
Well, Mrs. Salia, I certainly hope that you will be able to make contact with your husband soon. And I do hope that you and your family may find some peace and comfort in all of this. And I do thank you for taking the time to talk with us during this very emotional time for you.
Let them save him for me, please. He should have said, yeah. But they love what he's doing. He wants to help the people back home. He had to go. Please let them save him.
That was Aissatou Salia, the wife of Dr. Martin Salia, an Ebola patient in Sierra Leone. She spoke with me from New Carrollton, Maryland.
The 4-year-long trial of former Congolese Vice President Jean-Pierre Bemba is finally wrapping up in The Hague, but the story is not over. ICC judges want another trial, this time targeting both Bemba and his legal team for allegedly tampering with justice. Lisa Bryant reports from Paris.
The Lord's Resistance Army was once infamous for burning villages, abducting children, and displacing thousands of people as they aimed to overthrow the Ugandan government of President Yoweri Museveni. But, says Lieutenant General Samuel Karuma, the guerrilla group has been weakened after the formation of a regional task force by the African Union, consisting of troops from Uganda, South Sudan, the Democratic Republic of Congo, and the Central African Republic.
We've been reducing their strength, that is, by killing some of them and capturing some of them, to the level of killing number 2 in the hierarchy of their leadership, and so many other top commanders, and some of the top commanders also have defected.
The task force has several bases in all four countries affected by the LRA. After the group was forced out of Uganda, it started operating in South Sudan. It is believed the LRA is now split up in five main groups, mostly operating in Central African Republic and in the Democratic Republic of Congo. These countries are used for hiding and for their resources. The four countries pledged a total of 5,000 soldiers, 2,000 from Uganda and 1,000 from each of the other three countries. But Colonel Mike Kabango, commander of the Uganda contingent in the CAR, says none of the countries have been able to deliver the promised troops.
As we speak now, Uganda is at 1,500. We were at 2,000, but other commitments will keep going up and down. Central Africa, nil. When Bozizé was overthrown, everybody fizzled out. DRC, 100, 500, it keeps going up and down. South Sudan, the same thing. They have problems, so they have to come in and out. The figure now, 100, 200.
Political unrest, violent conflict, and a lack of resources prevented countries from delivering the troops needed to counter the LRA. Air support is provided by the United States, and AFRICOM, the United States Africa Command, also provides training. But the U.S. forces are not involved in actual missions. The African Union authorized the task force but did not mandate it, meaning there is no financial support and everything has to be provided for by the contributing countries. General Karuma says there are many challenges fighting the always moving LRA.
We need the mobility, we need to cater for our troops for morale or purposes and other, other things that make a force to operate. And manpower. If we could get the original projected force of 5,000, yes. But now we are operating at about 2,000 maybe. So, and these countries are huge in terms of size.
The Joint Intelligence Operations Center based in Dungu, DRC, collects and analyzes all information on the LRA. Much intelligence is gathered from captured LRA fighters or from defectors. The LRA also released dozens of women and children in August and September, another indicator the group is getting weaker. Their intelligence says the group has changed from an active combat guerrilla group to always being on the run from the task force and just trying to survive. Acting coordinator Captain Louis Charles of the Intelligence Center says that even if African troops manage to eliminate frontman Kony, it will not automatically mean the end of the LRA.
If Kony is captured or killed, I think that some soldiers, some fighters will surrender. But the groups, some was burned in the forest, they will remain in the forest.
But while the strength of the LRA is weakening, they still have an estimated 300 to 500 fighters with continuing financial resources from poached elephants in the DRC and moving freely in scarcely populated areas that cannot be easily accessed by the limited and under-resourced troops of the affected countries. Marta van der Wolf for VOA News from DRC, South Sudan, CAR.
You're listening to African News Tonight live on the following frequencies, 15580 and 6080 kilohertz on the Voice of America. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington.
I'm Yves Wuhib, 8:19 past the hour. Here's a recap of our top stories. Authorities in Mali announced two new deaths from Ebola. And the African Union's regional fight against Lord's Resistance Army is making progress in weakening the terror group. And we'd like to hear your thoughts on our stories. You can write to us at African News Tonight, Voice of America, 330 Independence Avenue, Southwest Washington, D.C., 20237.
Medical experts say cervical cancer continues to be the leading cause of cancer-related deaths in sub-Saharan Africa. a majority die of ignorance. Less than 1% of women are scanned for the disease. Free vaccination campaigns for 9 to 13 years old girls is going on. Moki Edwin Kinzika reports from Yaoundé.
Medical doctors from Chad, Gabon, Republic of Congo, Equatorial Guinea, Cameroon, and the Central African Republic say the impact of chronic diseases such as cancer is steadily growing in many low- and middle-income countries. Dr. Ndikum Donald, a cancer expert working in the Chadian capital N'Djamena, says early detection is essential to improving chances for recovery.
Low-income countries are the most affected simply because in the developed country, they have an organized program, the regular programs where they screen women every 3 to 5 years. So in the countries where the screening programs are developed, the cancer is well controlled.
Professor Anderson Doe of Cameroon's Cancer Committee says in his country alone, they have been detecting 14,000 cases of cancer each year and 4,000 are cancers of the cervix. He says most are reported in middle-aged women and the patients suffer longer and die sooner than those in high-income countries.
The numbers are increasing, partly because the population is increasing in number, but also the lifestyle that is changing too is contributing to this. Take smoking, for instance. If you take cancer of the cervix, cancer of the breast, even the prostate now, I'm finding some young men come to ask for help at rather early age.
Professor Doe says governments in sub-Saharan countries should act quickly. He says all women, regardless of economic status or geographic location, should have access to accurate, affordable cervical cancer screening. He urges people to live healthier lives as a means of preventing the disease.
We have solutions to them. Prevention, primary prevention by avoiding smoking, eating roughly. A square meal should have vegetables once in a while, fruits and all that. Obesity is a problem. And this obesity predisposes to certain cancers.
Cancer of the cervix is the leading cause of cancer-related death for women in the countries which have this month organized screening for girl children from 9 to 13 years old. Professor Anderson Doe says the campaign is free.
The vaccine is free. There are two types of vaccine in the market, Gardasil and Cervarix. We chose Gardasil as our first. It's produced in the States because it would prevent both these cancers we've talked about in an area where HIV/AIDS is common, as we have. It's useful.
Health experts say cervical cancer is preventable, but each year, approximately 80% of cancer-related deaths occur in developing countries where less than 1% of women have been screened for the disease. Moki Edwin Kinzika for VOA News, Yaoundé.
An upcoming international conference on nutrition will focus on the twin evils of malnutrition and obesity. Representatives from at least 140 governments, including 90 ministers and members of private institutions and civil societies, will gather in Rome next week. They will devise strategies for improving the nutritional status of hundreds of millions of people around the world. Lisa Schlein reports from Geneva.
The conference, which is jointly organized by the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization and the World Health Organization, will address multiple issues related to nutrition. These include the problems of undernutrition, obesity, and chronic diseases related to poor diet. Global statistics are not encouraging. WHO reports more than 800 million people suffer from chronic hunger. More than 160 million children are affected by chronic malnutrition or stunting. At the same time, it says 42 million children under age 5 are overweight. These figures tell an even more dramatic story when statistics on adult under and over nutrition are factored in. FAO and WHO agree the global food system is broken and must be fixed to provide healthy nutritional diets for those who are deprived. They say it is possible to enact policies that can improve the quality of the food supply, provide healthy foods, and intervene directly in life-saving therapy when needed. Xiangjun Yao, the director of the FAO Liaison Office in Geneva, says good nutrition is composed of many strands. Therefore, she says, there must be a holistic approach to cover the whole food chain.
To us, the food system, I mean, it should be something from the farm to the table, from what we call from farm to fork, and covers the production, processing, storage, distribution, preparation, and also consumption.
The UN agencies will be proposing a large, comprehensive list of strategies to the conference for approval. The plan of action will call for greater focus on the nutrition of children from birth to age 2 to avoid malnutrition and stunting. It also calls for greater attention to the needs of pregnant and lactating women, as well as to the most neglected and socially marginalized groups in society. The centerpiece of the conference, which will run from November 19th to 21st, will be a political declaration asking governments to commit themselves to eradicate hunger and prevent all forms of malnutrition worldwide by 2025. Director of the WHO's Department of Nutrition, Francesco Branca, tells VOA that the so-called SDG 2, or Sustainable Development Goals, will go beyond the Millennium Development Goals, which have succeeded in halving hunger in at least 63 countries by 2015.
It's not enough to look at the underweight children. We have also to look at children who have not grown to their full potential, who are stunted. Let's look at those kids who are not growing to their full potential. And that is an issue not only about amount of calories, but it's about the quality of the diet. And this conference is trying to say that. It's not only a quantity issue, it's a quality issue. We don't want only to talk about food security, but nutrition security.
Dr. Branca says the goal is to make sure the food that reaches tables all over the world, in rich and poor countries alike, is of good nutritional quality. Conference organizers say nutrition is not just an individual matter. They say malnutrition has serious effects on the whole population. Therefore, they note, investing in nutrition is not only crucially important from a moral standpoint, but from an economic one. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
And that wraps up this edition of Africa News Tonight. Stay tuned for Straight Talk Africa with Shaka Sali coming up at 18:30 UTC. I'm Yehiz Wuhib in Washington.
And I'm Kim Lewis. And for all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at www.voaafrica.com. And on behalf of our Africa News Tonight producer, Bill Workinger, and our engineer, Linus Rimkus, thanks for choosing the Voice of America.
Here's advice from the international medical group Doctors Without Borders, also known as MSF, to help limit the spread of the Ebola virus. First, do not touch or eat the bushmeat of animals from the forest. Avoid contact with blood, urine, feces, vomit, sweat, tears, saliva, mucus, or genital secretions of an Ebola patient. Do not handle the bodies of the patients who have died of Ebola. Inform the nearest health center of any suspected Ebola cases. Seek health care immediately, because infected people have a much higher survival rate if they receive early treatment at a health facility compared to staying home. These are recommendations from the medical aid group Doctors Without Borders, or MSF, on how to prevent the spread of Ebola. On Africa News Tonight, we let the sound tell the story, putting you in the middle of events from Africa's news to world crises. Africa News Tonight comes to you live from the Voice of America on the following shortwave frequencies, 6080 kilohertz and 15580 kilohertz. We are also live on the internet at www.voaafrica.com.